This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Club Champion. Whether you're looking to find the perfect driver or the entire bag, connecting with the club fitting expert at Club Champion will put you in the best possible combination of head and shaft to maximize your swing potential. They are so confident they even guarantee your fit. If you're anything like me, you'll enjoy every second and find out more than you can ever ask about your swing. Visit www.clubchampion.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week for an exciting new launch from Callaway is Mr. Paul Winterhalter and Mr. Brian Herr of Callaway fame. Paul, welcome, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, Dan. Thanks for having us. Excited to be on the podcast.
Absolutely. So you're a marketing guy. You've got to be pretty fired up about this release here.
Yeah. It's one of our biggest launches ever. It's the biggest one I've ever been a part of. It's fun getting to work for so long on a project and finally see it come to life. We'll get into some interesting stories, but this is one we've taken a bit of a different approach with, especially as it relates to getting it out on tour, getting it in players' hands earlier than we ever have before with other products. And my phone has been blown up all week. We launched, Monday, and it's just the excitement, the buzz, the energy around this product is pretty awesome. So it's fun to be a part of it.
You know, I can tell, especially when I get this email, it says, hey, we're going to bring a ringer into the chat to really tell the story. And that's why we have Brian here, who's a part of the R&D team. Brian, I don't know that THPers or the community as a whole are overly familiar with the name, but I would love an opportunity for a bit of an introduction and where you operate through the Callaway Group.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Brian Herr, I've been with Callaway for 7 years. I'm the manager of the wedge team. I worked as an engineer and designer at a previous company for about 9 years, also pretty heavy in the wedges there. So I've been in it for a while. I will say that Opus seems and feels different than anything I've been part of before. I just feel like the most buttoned up wedge launch I think I've ever been a part of. Marketing's been awesome. We have a lot of content. I feel like the product looks great. Performance is great. And then we'll really touch base here in a little bit with, we really got heavy in the tour this time. And I think the validation is showing, and the conversion has been really, really, really good.
Well, I have about 1,000 questions to spin off that. I really want to connect with the tour conversation here, but I think what a lot of people are wondering is Opus. That's an interesting name. How did you land on that? And what's the sort of feature logic around it?
Yeah, it's a fair question. So obviously a bit of a departure from where we've been with the Jaws name. when we kind of set out on this project a couple years ago, we knew that sort of looking ahead in the timeline of when this product was going to be coming out, that the Jaws name has really been out for over a decade. It's pretty synonymous with the Callaway brand. And so we really wanted to kind of ring in a new era of wedge at Callaway, of wedges. And, you know, we work with an agency. We work with professionals that do naming. We kicked it around internally. And this concept of where art meets science kind of kept just being in the conversation. And Brian will attest to this. We'll get into some details in a bit, but there really is an art when developing product, especially wedges, because there's a utilitarian aspect to it. There's a feel to it. It's very individual, if you will. And so there really is an artistic sort of element that needs to be a part of the design process. And so anyway, we kept kicking this around, art meets science, and a couple names were thrown out, and Opus was brought up. And so Opus really has ties back to the days of Mozart, Beethoven, music legends, obviously. And so their magnum opus, their greatest achievement. And it's really the culmination of their efforts that created their greatest achievement. And so that really struck a chord with us. And we passed it around. It got approval pretty early and quick. And so that's sort of where we landed with Opus. And so there's this element of, like I said, art meets science, the development of the product. There's that piece of it being sort of our greatest achievement in wedge. And also the name itself is just kind of sexy. Opus, it just sounds good. There's an air of elegance to it. There's an air of just premium nature to it. And I think when you look at these wedges, like I said, we have really rung in a new era in this category at Callaway, and we really felt that Opus sort of encapsulated that.
Brian, I want to kick this over to you because it's got to be super interesting to put all that time and effort in and create a product and then watch as people decide what it'll be named. I'm sure you have some involvement as well, but in reality, as much as the product needs to perform, there's a lot of times where people lose their mind when a name comes up. They're like, ah, dude, that's not for me. So what's that like on your side of things as you see these names come through and sort of laugh at the madness that goes on before it goes live?
Yeah, definitely. When I heard Opus, I don't know if I was as convinced as I am now. Like, the marketing story has been really good with Opus and how we tied it into, you know, our best of everything coming together, culmination. But yeah, you work on something for a long time and the name deviates from what we've been doing so much, and you're just, you know, it's different. But I think the story that the marketing team has put behind about how, you know, we've been developing this for a long time and it's the best of everything we have is, it really ties in well.
I will say, Dan, too, if I could jump back. So it is interesting because Brian's team works so long on development of the product. So there is a bit of a story actually behind the naming before we even had Opus made public. So probably a year ago, we started testing the shape. Brian and his team had some parts made up and getting them out to tour players. Most notably, John Rahm was one of the first guys to hit this and have this in his bag. And so I'm sure the THPers would recognize what we had done in terms of S6. So we were stamping the, you know, moniker S6 on wedges for about 6 months now. And we had it on a prototype that was sort of a faux Jaws Raw. And we'll put some pictures in the chat. We'll share these if the team isn't familiar with it. But so even before we had Opus, we had what we called S6. And that really ties back to the shape. So I think that's something we'd love to kind of get into here and have Brian talk a little bit about the development of that.
Yeah. So just kind of talking off what Paul was saying there, we have went about this a completely different way. Getting tour adoption was the focus this time. And to do that, we just decided, you know, instead of giving something to tour and seeing if they like it, let's have them help decide, right? Let's have them guide us. So we basically took 6 different shapes that people internally liked, and we developed them, or sorry, 5 shapes. We brought them out to tour. We got feedback. We made some iterations of what everyone kind of said and gave us. And then we came out with S6. And it's the 6th shape. And what happened was we brought this one out and no one had any negative feedback. And actually everyone was like, I really, really, really like this. Can I play it? So we kind of knew then S6, as we call it, was the right shape. And it was 18 months ago, I think that shape kind of got locked in. We still haven't had a single person say they don't like it. And it's not a polarizing shape, but it is clean. It is nice at address. It is beautiful. Internally, as Paul was saying, we call it S6, and we started putting it on prototypes a really long time ago. I have a story about John Rahm and how we kind of knew that this was right. He was at the Performance Center. It was just before the Open Championship a year ago, right? 2 years ago. And he came in to get some driver work done. And one of the tour reps told me he was going to show John S6 for the first time. And I said, that's great. I love Gitiv's feedback. He was shown in the new T-Grind that he was literally the first person testing it. So I was excited to hear what John had to say. I get a text from the tour rep Dean, and he tells me that John loves it. And that's great, right? We got one of the best players in the world at the time. I think he was number two. We got John Rahm liking this product. And he also texted me that he was going to keep it. And it didn't. It was the only one we had. We machined it. We machined S6, and then it said Rev3, which is our CAD file revision. Doesn't have any Callaway graphics on it. If you look and try hard, I think you can find some pictures of it on some of the websites. They didn't know whose it was because they didn't post about it. But so anyway, John takes it. He plays it in the Open Championship. He plays it in the Ryder Cup. We didn't have a backup for him, so we're scrambling to try to get him another one because if something happens to the one he has and Grooveware. But yeah, John took it that day and hasn't given it back. He's been playing it since.
Well, you know, I was going to wait until later for this, but when I was scrolling down the website, it's clear that the tour players are quite satisfied with the product. You've got Akshay on there saying it's crazy how good this wedge is. Another quote on there is a lot of players will love it. It's interesting to get that kind of specific feedback about a wedge from the guys on tour. Like a lot of times I feel like the feedback is, I think it's this, or, you know, I can do this with it. But I feel like it takes on a world of its own when they specifically start to say, everyone's going to love this, or other people will like this, or, you know, this is the upper echelon of the wedge experience for me. That had to have been incredibly validating to that, get that kind of commentary. And obviously on Paul's side, fodder for the website. So did you guys enjoy that? And were you surprised at how quickly the tour players really came to enjoy it?
Yeah, I'll start on that, Brian. So actually we were both down at the Players Championship in Florida. Was that March? Brian, we were down there. Yep. And so that's when we were shooting a lot of the content for kind of getting ready for launch of Opus. And so we were down there, and that's sort of where these quotes came from, is when we were shooting content with a lot of these players. We had Alex Noren down there. We had obviously Akshay. We had Yuka. We had Eric Van Rooyen. And so we were kind of showing them the final cosmetic of Opus. And so we're getting their feedback, and this was really raw, initial sort of sentiment from them. And so it was really validating, especially to have Brian there, the guy that, you know, made these, to hear that, I thought was really special. And so, you know, there's always the bit of we're going to speak nicely on camera. We're going to say this and that, but there's a couple of stories that I'll share. And one was with Akshay. Cameras weren't rolling. We kind of made the joke. Obviously he's a lefty. We don't always have left-handed products. So we had told him that Brian flew to China to bring him the one sample left-handed that we had back so that he can have it for the shoot. So he got a kick out of that, but he started hitting it and was just like, dude, this thing is sick. Why do I need a serial number? Like, I'm taking it. You know, that was one that we were pretty amped about. And after we wrapped the shoot, Brian and I are in the car, literally driving out of the parking lot to go get lunch. And he pulls up, walks up to the car, and he's like, wait, hold on. He's like, I want to put an order in. Like, when can I have these? You know, you guys aren't letting me keep this one. When can I get mine? And so he orders, you know, all these lofts and whatever, and we don't even have them made yet. This is early. We don't have anything manufactured. And so I'm like, we'll get it. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. And Brian's like, dude, we don't have any. Like,
yeah, he made some empty promises that day to Akshay that we couldn't keep.
Typical marketing guy, right? Just, yeah, we got it. We'll figure it out. And so he was like, I want to get these in. I want to stamp them. And so he was all amped up about it. And I mean, yeah, just the few first shots he hit were just, we've got a video that's on YouTube now, and you see this thing just rip spinners on the green. It was sick. It was really fun to watch him get excited about it.
I'll let Brian touch on that a little bit if you'd like to, but I think I want to focus more on the performance side of things, because my perspective is you can't really hide anything with a wedge. because it's such a versatile shot shaping product, I don't think you can get away from mediocrity in any form, whether it's feel, whether it's engagement with the turf, whether it's spin. So having these guys who are as good as it gets in golf come and be as precise as they can be and either find a benefit to it or find gains or improvement. I mean, what's that like, Brian?
Yeah, it's challenging. As I talked about, getting the shape right is like the checkpoint. If you can't get someone to put it down and look at it and like it, you're kind of done. They don't care how it performs. So that was the big thing initially. And then after that, it's the grinds. I talked about the T grind for a second there, but it was very needed and necessary for us to go to a T grind. And, you know, there's a lot of them in the market from competitors. And we have a version now that we're really proud of and really like. And that product is capable to make all the shots for those guys. It's really good for someone who likes to open it up and keep that leading edge low. And then it's really good on tight lies, like they play on tour. So this is the lineup going.
Yeah, so just to help him out, I tripped him up halfway through. We've been talking about grinds, and for the folks on audio, what I've done is I've pulled up the grind sheet just to showcase the options here, but feel free to continue. I just thought it'd be maybe a little bit helpful to have the reference point there for you.
Definitely, that's nice. So that's the T grind, and it was literally developed by Tour for Tour because they needed it, they wanted it, and we're really proud of it. You know, it's not going to be for everybody. You need to be able to make the shots and have the skills to do it, but those better players love this. And then from there, another really popular one on tour is the C grind. We made some modifications to keep that leading edge low again with this, as you open it up, but the sole's a little bit wider. So what we've noticed on tour is the guys who they're either in the T or the C, it seems like, on their lobs. If they're digging a little bit with the T grind, that wider sole is really good for them on the shots that are square. But it really is good when you can open it up, just like the T grind. So two really important products for tour. And then, so that's the sole performance of it. The part that most people on here will see is the performance from the new groove package, what we're calling Spin Gen. It's a groove, it's a face blast. It's a micro feature that we're using, to machine roughness. And, we've already had the most aggressive groove in golf, but what we've done here is we've narrowed the pitch or tightened, and we're putting more groove edges on the golf ball with these closer grooves. And what we're noticing is a lower launch and more spin around the green and in all conditions. I think what we're trying to hammer home is that, you know, you go out in the morning and it's wet, or you're in the rough, or you're in the fairway, right? Like, fairway is not the problem with spin and launch, but those other conditions, it changes. So what we've done here is we've tightened that window, the change between the fairway and the wet grass and the dry grass and then the rough, is it's all in a tighter window and more, and the spin is more consistent. So really proud of that. So you can play all those shots similar to me, and you don't have to make adjustments.
Can I ask what inspired the change, not only from a name, but from a shaping perspective? Was there something you felt like you needed to really improve on or adjust based on feedback? What was the driving force in that?
The name isn't, you know, I'll say we just needed a refresh, but from my perspective, we wanted to get more tour players in our product. And that was the direction, and it was kind of simple, right? Like, we need really good players to play this product. So we went out and did that.
Yeah. And I think too, the performance
when it comes to, go ahead, Paul.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, I was going to touch on a little bit of the performance aspect as you had asked earlier. We kind of touched upon it earlier, but we worked earlier and often with a lot of players, and one in particular, you know, Chris Kirk. He was one that was an early adopter of S6, that early Opus prototype. He won at the tournament Century of Champions in Hawaii at the beginning of the year. He had 3 wedges in the bag at that tournament. And he was one that I know Brian worked closely with on sort of that that out of the rough performance. He was a guy that was really big on, you know, consistent spin. If he misses the fairway approach into greens. And so, you know, the team took a lot of that to heart, and we developed testing around specifically out of the rough and out of wet conditions, as Brian mentioned. And so this team, you know, Brian kind of laughs every time I bring it up, but this team actually went out and grew their own grass to run these tests. And when Brian, this is your story, but he sent a picture of the grass and the test tubes to Chris Kirk, and he sent back the emoji like, my mind is blown. Like, this is insane that you guys are working on this level of detail. And, you know, like I said, he was an early adopter of it, three wedges in the bag at the beginning of the year. And he actually won in strokes gained around the greens at that tournament too. So obviously a testament to the work earlier with him, getting him adopted into it. And then just a testament all around to the performance and the time that, you know, this team took to put this product to the paces.
So Brian, you were that guy who took the divot from Augusta and started growing it in his backyard. Is that what happened there?
No, it's sad. Sounds like, yeah, you guys grew grass good. What we do is we have a performance center. The guys over there maintain the place, and we ask them to put grass into PVC pipes, and we take the PVC pipes, we cut it off, and there's dirt and grass growing out of them, and they put it behind our robot so we can simulate rough, because as most of you probably know, you can't get data launch spin with any kind of tracking. So to do that, we have to put it on a robot, and these little tubes of grass can interact with the golf ball the same way you would out of the rough, but we can actually capture data. So we can quantify these numbers, and it's growing grass, but it's a little bit harder than that, more complicated.
I mean, this is great because you get those people out there that say, oh, every golf club's the same. It's not a big deal. A wedge can only be so much, but you're showcasing one of the many features that you really isolate and focus on. And this is a great opportunity to share that. I would never assume someone with a robot would be digging pelts of grass in to just hit shots of the wedge. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, on a robot especially, you like getting different spin data from one wedge to the next out there is really tough. There's plenty of friction on the face. So we really focus on the wet condition. We get the ball wet before they hit it to simulate the dew. And then we focus on the rough, like I was just talking about. So we can separate ourselves from, you know, any other wedge that you're hitting on the range or a mat. When you go out and you play in real life, this is when you're going to notice Opus is different.
So, Brian, let me ask you about overall performance from a wedge and what you focus on, because a wedge is a precision shot, obviously, but a lot of people use it for both full shots and opening the face for shots around the green or trying to manipulate the face in a way. How do you combine those things where the full shot, the full swing shot is just as efficient as the shot around the green?
Yeah, so versatility, right? That's what this is. You need to be able to make all the shots with the product, especially your lob wedge, or some people just use their sands. But yeah, there's a balance, right? You need to have enough bounce in the center for your attack angle. I mean, everyone's a little different, but and then depending on the club you pick, you need to have versatility to open up that wedge and hit shots across the face. One of the things that we did performance benefit on shots that you're opening up is we have a milling pattern that's angled. So when you're impacting on an open face shot, you're kind of squaring up on those slanted, I don't know what the marketing term
is. Micro grooves. Yeah, those micro grooves.
We call it something different. We call it micro features in-house. Anyway, when you're impacting across the face, it really is helpful. It's going to create spin. So you have that full package of grooves on more square shots, and then on the open face shots, you have these micro grooves that are really good for performance and spin and launch. So we've kind of thought of everything here, I feel like. So we're trying to make sure that your performance is good from the full shot with enough bounce. We're trying to make sure that, you know, you have enough relief in your heel when you open it up, and then the performance as well.
I think the elephant in the room needs to be talked about, that there are actually two wedges in the lineup. One is Opus and one is Opus Platinum. Is Platinum the like, hey, let's do it all, and then Opus for like more the regular type of users? Whereas, you know, you had this option in this style and you said, well, it's tungsten, it costs a little more, maybe not everyone wants that. Screw it, we'll add another wedge in there and see what people think. Is that how that went?
No. So this was a really long project for us. We started working on this 2.5 years ago. Honestly, we didn't ever know if it would make it out, but the senior management team said, don't worry about costs, just go out there and make a really cool product. What can we do? And I personally am very steep when I hit shots. So what that does is it typically makes my impact a little bit higher on the face. And when you have a higher impact, you tend to launch the ball a little bit higher. So my thought was, I need to bring up CG here. And the best way to do that is a heavy density material. And the best place for that is the top line. It drags the CG straight up. And what Opus Platinum is it brings the CG straight up and it helps keep launch low. It's going to create a bunch of spin for you. But that was like step one. And then the other things that go into Opus are the MIM. So it's a new way to manufacture a product for us in the full club space. And we have a proprietary mix that is very soft feeling. One way that people describe it, which is a little, I don't know if confusing, but it's how people describe this, is it sticks on the face of a MIM product and it feels very soft. So it's partly the launch that's keeping it low, but the MIM is a really, really good way to manufacture and it feels really, really good.
A couple of the other design features, is it more pronounced in the central base at the back of the club head on Platinum? Do you have a little bit more material inside to the middle and then you've carved away a bit more than the regular Opus head?
No, they should be the same. It's just that that the MIM material and then that tungsten weight. So the MIM material has a little bit of a different density than our cast version there and then our standard version. So we're able to bring CG up with the material changes there.
Gotcha. And this is a bit of a step away from Jaws because you had those drilled out inserts, which I think allowed you to put more weight around the perimeter and adjust that. Is this the easiest way to do that? Or is this just another option in the process?
It's another option, but honestly, the medallions were great, but they are a little restricting on the way you can make a grind and how much relief you can have. So, we've, especially with our new grinds and T grinds and Z grinds and stuff, the four holes were restricting on how much relief we could give for manufacturing reasons. So one of the reasons we felt like this was the right move to go away from was we can make the grinds kind of exactly how we want to in CAD and then in manufacturing.
Can you guys tell me a bit about finishes and where you landed on that? Here's what I know about wedges. You can get 1,000 SKUs if you really wanted to. Obviously, the goal is to get the right number. How do you land on finishes? How do you land on grinds? And are you particularly excited about this deep, dark blue finish, which looks insane?
Yeah. I mean, the finish conversation is always an interesting one. So you're never going to be able to appeal to everybody if you make one decision or the other. So we have a track record, obviously, of having the chrome and the black. There's some precedence in the marketplace behind that. So for the Opus standard, we knew that we wanted to target something that people were going to be, you know, more or less familiar with. Now, I will let Brian kind of get into the nuance of the chrome finish on Opus because it is something that's new for us. It's not, you know, the milky satin has been out there for a long time. We've had that obviously in the past with Jaws, but this is really more of like a brushed chrome look. And I kind of mentioned it earlier, but wedges are very utilitarian. There's more of a, you know, a personal sentiment behind it's going to be hit almost every single hole that I'm playing. And so we just felt that brushed sort of element that that machine kind of feel to it would really resonate with people. And so, yeah, Brian, I'll let you kind of touch on the QPQ and the black and some differences that we've done maybe in the past.
It's the brush look. I think it's really clean. It's something that tour players really like. Chris Kirk, I'll go back to him. He actually gun blues his raw, which is similar to what we're doing with QPQ, not the treatment, but like the way it looks in the end. So we're off the tour path here, or not, we're very down the tour path here. Black, and then they use raw, which is available on our custom site, I believe. Yep. And then, you know, that brushed look that they like, we wanted to bring that to life in our chrome. So I think it looks really clean. I really like it. And then the blue, I personally was big in it. I wouldn't let it go. I think I'll pat myself on the back for bringing it to life. If you hate it, I'm sorry, but I love it. I think it's different. I think it pops on the shelf. I think we needed it in platinum to show it's different and separate it from everything else that's out there. And I think it brings attention to it. We were proposing at our brand council meeting going black with platinum instead of blue. And we started passing it around. And everyone was kind of like, yeah, definitely go black. Blue's too polarizing. But once they saw the samples, everyone started changing their mind. And as it went around, you just see their faces. And I think Paul and I were on stage still kind of doing a presentation. And I called one of our vice presidents out, he's in charge of sales. And I was like, I think you're changing your mind here. Yeah. He's like, I am. This blue is incredible. We got to have this. So, you know, we weren't really planning on it. It was something I loved. So I'm really glad we got it out in the market, and I'm hopeful that everyone else likes it too.
Yeah. We saw the subtle blue with the AI1 putters, which are absolutely stunning, but a little bit harder to see the blue. It's very, very subtle. It's very dark blue. Did you get some of that ideology from that side of things, or was this just, hey, let's try a blue and we'll see where we get from there?
We try a lot of things. The blue for the AI1 definitely helped. We used it as a base to start kind of doing the testing. I think, you know, there's PVD ranges, so we ended up close to that. But first of all, it helped us get across the finish line. The AI1 is doing well. It's really great in the market. So, you know, senior leadership is a little more accepting of blue now, I think. So, it's great. I think that it definitely helped us as a base point. We tend to get a large matrix of finishes in to start. And then typically we filter back down to chrome and black. But this time we did a little something different.
I want to send that over to Paul, the same question, but from a marketing perspective, you have something that's visually stunning, which is a lot more storytelling viable than maybe a traditional finish wedge. Is that exciting when you see a product like this and you're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm taking this anywhere I can.
Yeah, for sure. And so the good thing is that I kind of hold hands between the marketing side and the R&D side. So I had a lot of insight into what Brian was sort of working on. And I was on his camp of let's do something different with the blue. Let's really kind of push the envelope here in terms of what we're bringing to market. And so I saw that. I was on his camp the whole time, I will admit. And from a marketing storytelling perspective, the blue, I mean, look, the Opus Platinum product itself was really meant to be disruptive in the space. We've seen MIM products be done before, but the way we're doing it is really different. Brian talked about the proprietary blend of metals, putting a huge piece of tungsten up in the top line. This product really started as sort of a concept car. And for me, the storytelling pieces were really rich because, hey, this was meant to be disruptive and the product looks extremely different. I wouldn't go as far as polarizing. I think there's some precedence in the marketplace behind, you know, these different kind of colors and wedges especially, but, you know, it's definitely going to be head-turning. And I think one of the pieces of the product that came back when we were showing it around, as Brian mentioned, to sort of the leadership team was that tungsten bar. And people were like, hey, maybe we can do something different or call this out or, you know, visible technology. Let's make it look like a piece of jewelry. When they sit on the shelf and really get people to turn their heads and think and pick this up and look at it. And so, yeah, for sure. I'm excited about the finishes. I think it has done its job in terms of being disruptive, being different and exciting.
I want to turn it back to a question about the wedge team versus maybe the iron team. And is there a lot of cross collaboration there with the idea that Callaway should have an identity in total, and the goal here is to really let the sets blend all the way up to, let's say, you know, the hybrid or the fairway, whatever the driver?
Me taking that ball?
Well, yeah, I'll let you take it. I think it's interesting because they don't sit too far from each other. And quite frankly, one of our iron R&D guys is Brian's really good friend. Actually, I call them cousins all the time because they kind of look alike. Sorry. But I mean, yeah, I think in terms of when we look at industrial design, when we look at sort of the loft gaps and how they progress, certainly we have a superior place in the market right now with our iron share. There's a ton of players turning to Callaway irons, and yeah, you know, make no mistake about it, we think everyone that plays a Callaway iron should be playing a Callaway wedge. You know, there's no reason not to. In terms of the actual design and the looks, yeah, I think we do try to have some sort of element of design that's close to it, so it's not super different. I think we've kind of hit the nail a bit more here with Opus than maybe we have with Jaws and the weight ports. It's a bit different, obviously, than the iron design. So certainly I think there's a bit of mind sharing. I think there's a bit of, you know, what are the elements or nuances we can take to kind of, like you said, make it more of a flow through the entire bag. But you know, Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's more of a push than it has been in the past, maybe, especially with Apex being out there. We want to flow with the better players here. We want a really good looking product at address, the shaping. So the Opus kind of trapezoidal does, yes, definitely play off the Apex weight. So I would say, yes, we are. We're thinking about it. And I think we'll continue to get a little better at that, actually.
So you got buddies in the iron group. Have you talked them into getting my nice Apex Pro CBs in that blue finish? I could definitely use a set of those.
Okay. We could work on it. We haven't done that.
That would be
Chris
crazy.
Kirk had a set of blacked out MBs that he was playing for a little bit there, maybe still. So it's not unprecedented.
Is there any other feature about the wedge? I know we touched a little bit on the groove system and the overall shaping, but Brian, is there anything else you're super proud of or something you want to call into commentary here that people might not see just looking at the website at Opus?
Not necessarily. I think I was touching on it a little bit, but shout out to the marketing guys for just getting a ton of stuff early. I just feel like I said, this is different internally. We're working on a commercial that we're excited about, which is, you know, a little bit different for Callaway wedges. We don't tend to get as much attention as maybe the driver iron categories, which understandably, but we are getting a lot of attention. And I think marketing's done a good job of helping the wedge team bring this really good product to life.
Paul, any thoughts on that one?
No, I think, thanks Brian for the shout out. I think it just helps when we work on these timelines earlier, right? So I think getting the story out, getting it kind of buttoned up, getting people agreed on what the features will be, what the story is, understanding that it's very clear. These guys, Brian and his team, did a phenomenal job of, like they said, not just being tour inspired, but tour driven, and making a product that's really going to speak to better players. And so the storylines were there for us to kind of run with. And I'm also really proud of the work and the effort and the culmination of everything kind of coming together for this launch. It's, you know, like I said, I've been at Callaway a few years. I've been a part of a few launches, and this one just feels different. Feels like we've got a ton of momentum. And it, you know, I'm excited to see where this thing goes.
I guess I didn't really mention the tour team enough.
Yeah, so the secret, well, sorry.
The tour guys, the tour reps, Dean, Joe, Johnny, all the guys that helped us a ton. They've given us all the feedback. They've really helped push this wedge to a different place. So I guess I should give them as much credit as anyone.
Nice shout out there.
They gave us all the feedback. Yeah. They're the guys who made this happen.
So the one of the secrets that a lot of people don't realize, or maybe they do and they just don't think about it a lot, is that in R&D you're not necessarily like, all right, I got Opus done, I can go on my, you know, summer break now, it's no big deal, go have a Mai Tai and feel good about it. You're working probably on the next couple years iterations of this wedge already, I assume. So can we at least expect that this will be a kicking off point to a new era in Callaway wedges? And are you really excited about what you're seeing down the line?
Definitely. I think the Shape 6 will stay for a while. We are definitely working on new stuff already. But the feedback thus far is you got something great here. Stay with it. So
yeah, and make no mistakes, Dan, we're going to take some time and go have a couple Mai Tais too. Yeah. But yeah, as he mentioned, we're always looking ahead, and we're pretty confident that the Opus franchise, the name, is going to be here for a while. And like you said, it's been a great kicking off point to kind of bring in a new era of wedge category for us, wedge platform.
Yeah, what I like about Callaway, and it seems like this has been fairly consistent over the last 5 to 10 years, is you see a category and you just decide like, hey, we need to own that like now. And for whatever reason, we've seen it with drivers, we've seen it with balls, we've seen it with a couple things. It almost seems like this is that like really defining moment for wedges for you guys, or at least defining the next 5 years, that which gets me excited. Like when you guys talk about it this way, like all I want to do is go and hit Opus now and just see like, what are they talking about? What is so good about this product?
Yeah. I mean, it's just great to hear you kind of say that, those kinds of things, because that's honestly how we feel. Obviously, we work on wedges every single day and we're super close to it. And now it's almost like a piece of you kind of is out there, right, in the world now. And so it's, continuing to hear the feedback. I know my phone's been off the hook for the last few days. Brian, I'm sure a ton of people have been hitting you up. So it just, like we've said it, you know, a couple of times now, it just feels different. And I think we've really set ourselves up for success. And, you know, we're going to be shooting this TV commercial next week. And we 3 days into a launch, right? And it's already going crazy. This thing has got so much more to go, and so many more people to hear and learn about it too. So it's just the beginning of Opus.
What I'd love to know, Paul, before we wrap up today, is I heard a little bit of suggestion in the pre-show about this stash you got going on. Now, audio doesn't let people see it, but I've heard a story that's like, is this like a playoff beard? Is this are you growing it out for launch, or what's going on here?
Yeah, you've seen the baseball players when they bleach dye their hair. So I was like, I'm not going down that route, but you know, I'll shave a mustache for a little office hype for our Opus launch. So yeah, I am rocking the mustache. It's a bit different for me. I've been made fun of a little bit, but you know, here we are. We're rocking it and having a little bit of fun with the Opus launch, and you know, just having a little bit of hype, you know, I guess.
That's awesome. Well, hey guys, I really appreciate the time today, Paul. Really excited for you. It seems like you're fired up. Oh, yeah. Brian, it was great to meet you as well and really get to know your role a bit more. If you folks out there are interested, I would imagine you will be, definitely go give Opus a shot, hit it at your local store or go get fit and see what you think about it. We are going to have a conversation on the THP community forum talking about this release, this conversation, this Friday. And it sounds like Paul's going to be in there with a little bit of imagery for us, if you will. And yeah, look forward to your feedback. Paul, thanks again for coming on, man.
Happy to be here. Yeah, we're fired up. So thank you for having us, Dan. And thanks, THPers.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, if you're playing golf this weekend, have fun. Go hit Opus. Tell me what you think. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.